Brilliance Audio.
Through a Darkening Glass by R.S. Maxwell. Performed by Ailey Beaton. For Dorothy, Isabel, and Juliet. Winter 1910. Phineas pulled the cowl around his skinny neck, then started the long walk back to Martinsborough. It was not an ideal night for travel, lashed as it was by December rain, which seemed willful in its want for warm blood. And while sullen about the business he had just concluded, he was at least grateful for the brandy wine in his guts, without which he was sure pneumonia would strike before he could cross his threshold. The grounds of Wolstenholme Park were vast, and as he neared the main gate, he found his pathway blocked by a puddle as monstrous as the Black Sea. With little option, he stepped into a thicket next to the road, a path he knew from boyhood, and perhaps more recently, as a popular haunt for local poachers. It was a lumpish wander, thick with twisted bramble, meandering briefly by the stable, which had not seen a horse in years, before descending again into stands of willow, thrusting from snow-covered moss, and middens of dead, papery thistles. To traipse through this place uninvited during daylight was a wish to be shot by the last holdout of the Wolstenholme staff, Mr. Blackwell, a chimeric amalgam of butler, cook, doorman, and gamekeeper. Phineas had tipped his hat to the very man before sitting down earlier that evening with Wolstenholme by the fire, after which the steward had left their company and busied himself with some task or other at the old man's behest. Where Blackwell was at the current moment was not clear, but Phineas took solace in the fact that a gamekeeper would not likely be seeking an uninvited gun at such a time and in such weather. Ahead, the trees cleared to reveal two perfect circles in the meadow floor, the limekiln ponds, apertures in the earth reminiscent of skyward-facing train tunnels, their waters dimpling lightly in the rain. Long abandoned, the subterranean kilns hadn't seen a fire in a decade. With a blocked coal feed at the bottom of the bluff, a particularly fierce storm many years prior had flooded the kilns, transmuting raging furnaces to placid twin pools. In the summer, they might be pretty, wrapped tightly in a smart ribbon of Victorian masonry. But in truth, they were 40 feet deep pits of murky water, within which lurked a grim tangle of wrecked farm equipment, horse bones, caustic remnants of quicklime, and God only knows what else. This particular night, there was something unexpected disturbing the North Pond's surface. A white form, like a pleated linen curtain, floated there in the black water. Phineas stepped cautiously through the rain and saw that it was a girl. Face down, shrouded in the folds of a pale dress, her yellow hair drifting around her head. He brought a hand to his eyes. It was the brandy wine troubling his vision, it must be. And he looked once more, but the white form remained. As he drew closer, it was clear she was dead. Oh, how it looked like her. Was it her? No, not her. It could not be her. This here was some other unfortunate soul, some sad girl of whom he knew nothing. He squinted, his vision cloudy, his head a muddle. Did she move? No, the wind likely. He then looked up to see a shadowy figure stepping towards him through the leaf litter, wordless and menacing. Phineas ran in a blind panic. The main road was only a quarter mile ahead, and he dared not look back, sure that he heard stirrings and the crashing of hedges behind him as he fled through the bramble. He found the river, then the bridge, and scrambled up the embankment and stepped out onto the stone arch. He scanned the river gully to see if anyone followed. He saw...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?